If you enjoy this podcast, and don't forget to subscribe to catch all future episodes. Also, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/switchboxtv for video versions of this show, plus loads more videos covering sport, music, and lifestyle. That's youtube.com/switchboxtv. This episode was recorded in August 2020. Welcome to the Need to Know Music Show here on Switchbox TV. Today's all about an innovative band from Sydney, Australia, known for their epic swirling soundscapes and pounding and complex rhythms, topped off with the heart and soul vocals of Tobias Atkins. And he joins us now. How are you, Tobias?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Great. I mean, so this last few months has been a bit strange for everybody. I mean, where have you been? How have you been spending this sort of this lockdown and kind of COVID world that we've been living in?
It's as you know, it's 2020 is cancelled in some ways, but the silver lining for I think musicians and creatives is that there's ways to use the scenario to your advantage. For us, that came in the form of doing lots of video clips and a bit more writing and actually doing a release plan for the album leading up to August that meant we could tailor it for people at home and tailor it for what was going on. So that's kind of what we've been up to. Otherwise, just working and trying to write some more music.
So what were you doing in the lead up? How has it changed the plans that you had? I mean,
the funny thing is that it actually hasn't changed at all, except for our touring plans, which unfortunately were all cancelled. Our original plan was to do 4 to 5 singles leading up to the album. And then we decided to sort of reinvest time into making it more for people that are going to be at home. So we geared our content more towards that. It's worked out so far.
Have you been doing any of the sort of live stream kind of stuff, or is that physically possible for you guys? I know this, you've got a really kind of epic sort of sound. Is that, is it easy to sort of recreate that in a kind of an acoustic format, or is that a thing? I don't know.
We would love to, but unfortunately we've got guitarists and members across different states of Australia. So we could do a bass and drums and vocal, which might sound a bit weird, but we've been talking about that because we've been trying to connect, via the internet from Victoria to New South Wales over the last coming months. So far, nothing has really worked out in terms of being able to jam, even virtually, is enough to our liking to then put on social media. But we are working towards something like that.
It's frustrating that kind of that delay there is. It's just too much of a delay to actually play together via Zoom or anything like that. It's been the kind of, I think it's been the central focus of most musicians of how to get around that. It just seems to be layering videos is the only way to sort of virtually play live, which unfortunately for the very first person on it doesn't get to play with anybody. Everyone else gets to play with him, a bit of an odd one. But let's just take it back to the beginning for yourself. What sort of age did you get into music? What was your kind of musical upbringing?
My musical upbringing was mostly based on, from the get-go, musical theatre. My parents were dancers and directors of musical theatre. So I was really heavily influenced by theatre music, musical theatre music, including like classical music as well, because my mum was a ballerina. So that stuff really, I feel like it's ingrained into me. And then from there, my musical gods are Michael Jackson, Prince, Michael Hutchins, Frank Sinatra, and, sort of other people like that, sort of real iconic people that when I grew up, I just had a couple of these CDs and I just listened over and over and over. In terms of rock music, my introduction to rock was via Live, the band Live. Their album Throwing Copper. That was another one of those things that's just burnt into my soul, just the sound of that album. So I think from there onwards, I sort of started getting more into rock music and picked up the guitar about 8 years old, and here we are.
Yeah, when I first heard Live, actually, from their Unplugged, was the first time I heard them.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So that kind of got me into the Throwing Copper album, because I was a real sort of Pearl Jam, Nirvana sort of head.
Around
that sort of time when I kind of discovered them. And his voice is just amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's just the songs are great.
Yeah.
So I can actually hear a bit of influence in your own vocals, actually, in
definitely.
That. Do you take that?
I mean, absolutely.
That's a compliment, definitely.
Oh, no, thank you. Yeah, I'll take it as definitely a big compliment. As a vocalist, I think that style, it sort of falls a little bit into that, like, early 90s grungy stuff. Like, I love Scott Weiland and is it Lane Stanley? No, the singer.
Lane Staley,
Alice in Chains, Chris Cornell, those guys. I'm big fans of that kind of sound. So I think I've definitely incorporated a bit of that into the vocal style.
Well, it's definitely working for you. So when you first started playing playing live, what was the music scene around when you got going? What was that like? Was it easy? Was there a lot of venues around, a lot of bands around, a lot of music around?
Yeah. I was lucky enough to go through what I felt inherently was like the last good era of live music, or local live music in Australia, back when Sydney was... when I turned 16 to 18 to 19, the big nightlife spots in Sydney were still cranking along, and there was no lockouts. We've had lockout laws only recently lifted before COVID for the better half of a decade, a bit more than that. So up until that time, it was thriving. And so you could go see local bands and see packed out local bands all the time. Nowadays, it's not the same. So I'm really thankful for being able to start off in the scene and actually play gigs where people really wanted to come along and weren't restricted by lockout laws and stuff like that.
And what's the wider Australian scene like? Is it easy to kind of get out the road? It's a big place.
Yeah. The driving between states is not great, but like, there's actually so much great regional stuff in between the cities, which is we've only just really recently started to slowly fill those gaps. But that's where the meat and potato is. You go out to country pubs and stuff like that and play shows out there, and then people are just like so keen. And I feel like that's where the Aussie magic is. And obviously the capitals are great as well. Now the scene's really good here. I feel like it's now before COVID, at least, it was in this new supportive place where Aussie music was really making a strong resurgence, people were excited. So hopefully it gets back to that afterwards.
I sort of feel like there's whenever I talk to Australians that are that I meet in London, there seems to be a whole host of bands that we just don't hear over here. Is it tough to sort of break out? I mean, I'm assuming you're kind of the location of where you are in the world makes it slightly more difficult to sort of hit Europe and that sort of thing. So what have you found the sort of struggles of sort of getting outside of Australia? How have you found that?
We found, for some reason, we have a sort of half of our fans are made up from the States and Canada. I don't really know how that happened. I think it's maybe via the association we have with the band Northlane. That's somehow worked out, and it's been really great because we've got some people we can connect with over there. I don't think we're going to get over there for a couple of years. The UK and Europe, that's been easier to connect with people and to introduce our music, because I feel like the prog scene over there is just like, it feels more ancient. Like, it feels like it's been going along for a long time, even if it's like in quieter circles and more underground or whatever. So that's been really fun to get into and just sort of spread our fingers into it. But it is, it is difficult in terms of just logistically getting over there and the cost for the flights and everything. It's quite a lot. I mean, a lot of bands rely on government grants and things like that to get over there. But I feel in today's day and age with the internet, I feel like you can really plant some seeds there pretty firmly before you get there, and then go over and hopefully play a successful tour if you, you know, if you can work the internet to your advantage.
I found it really interesting listening to your stuff. It's obviously the soundscapes, and they're kind of the first thing that hit you. Is those the sort of guitars and the keyboards and that kind of, I can, when you talked about the influence of classical and stuff like that, you can really hear that coming through. Ooh, I'm feeling your pressure. It's so cruel, give me attention. Christ, to buried aggression. That like to create, I mean, is it a lengthy writing and recording process? Are the two things done together? Is it all in your head and then how does that work?
I've always been a guitarist first and foremost. I picked that up first before everything else, and it's my writing process now I actually really don't like. I get there in the end, but it takes me too long to get there. It took me, I mean, I wrote basically 2 albums for this release, but it took me a really long time. It took me 4 years to write 20 songs or 25 songs or whatever it was. And I think that's because the vocals in this band need to be the most important thing. And then the music needs to get it written around that. However, I've done the reverse of that. I write the guitar, I'll write out the sections, I'll write out the rhythm, I'll structure it. I'll hear a vocal in my head, and then I'll go to attempt the vocal, and the vocal just sounds like shit. And it's just something in my head, and I should have first developed the vocal. So that's how I've been doing it so far. And it does get you there. And I feel like what does get it there in the end is just the belief in the underlying message of the song, which I feel like even without writing vocals, you're already writing about it. You're already writing some kind of story when you're playing the guitar anyway. So it's trying to extract that out from just the instruments rather than trying to write it out like, lyrically or melodically first. So I'm doing a little bit of a double handling, I guess. But that's the process so far, and I'm looking forward to revitalizing it.
Yeah. So like I said, the idea of the songs is, I mean, with the getting the lyrics, do you get the idea of it, or do you kind of let the music kind of influence what you're singing about? I mean, is there a set way that you do that, or do you have an aim to start off with?
I never really have an aim. I really just do what I feel in that moment, and then try and hear the story within the song that's trying to break out from it. That's also been a big struggle for me too, because you might misinterpret the way you felt when you wrote this riff or something, and you come back to it days later and you're like, I'm going to write a song about this. But then it never works out, and you keep beating it with a hammer. You're just beating a dead horse, and it never works out. And then there's not really until I get in contact with the initial essence of something that was going on, some unconscious thing that is just there that you're trying to look at, you know, with a microscope. Not until I really get the essence of that can I then does the thing just start writing itself. I feel it is a really unconscious thing for me. It's really like there's some message that you could extract from your dream, but the dream is just all kind of nonsense, you know, and it's trying to sort of dive in there and pick that out and look at it and go, oh, that's actually what I'm dealing with. I spend so much time waffling around trying to figure what that is. So yeah.
Well, I think that's a thing I've found definitely. I'm a songwriter myself, and I find that sometimes you just things just come through you rather than from you. I feel as maybe there's a kind of a, and then I've done songs before. I've written a whole song and then not figured out till like 6 months later what that's actually about. You know, you think you're writing about somebody else, you realize it's actually a criticism of yourself or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's a lot to be said for that kind of letting it flow and letting it just come out as it is and then kind of dealing with it afterwards, that needs to get the initial creation done, you know?
Yeah.
So Bolero is your third single released this year. Do you have a date for the album released? You say it's in August or no, is that right or no?
Yes, I should know this, shouldn't I? It's, I think it's August 21st or August 24th.
See, this is why we need managers stood next to us. This is the reason why.
Yeah. Yelling at me. I'll quickly pull it up for you. I think it's the 21st. We'll say that.
Okay. And have you got a plan for another single before that then?
Yeah, we've just wrapped up a video for the last one before the album comes out. We are going to do some more stuff post-album as well. Some sort of bigger projects for the music videos that will take a little bit longer. But yeah, we just wrapped up the last video, so that'll be out very shortly.
Do you enjoy that video making process?
Yeah, I love it. I really love it. I've just got the perfect partner in crime to make videos with. He's one of my really dear friends, who's just an unbelievable wizard. Like in terms of everything visual, he's just like, you know, we make a really great connection. We've done a lot of varying video styles over the last year or so. You know, we used green screens and did underwater for Voyage, and then another one, the Beyond Us video, we just went, let's get three lights, a laser and a projector. And then the one that we most recently did, we went to an abandoned power plant and shot in this really scary, dank place that was really kind of haunted and hectic. And yeah, so it was exciting.
Pretty vibey.
Yeah, and it was really like, you know, we're not supposed to be there, and we're, you know, we've got generators and, you know, we've got ponchos and just walking around all sus, and I got a kick out of it.
And what's this, how are you going to launch the album without any sort of live?
We're just going to do the next video, which we think is our favorite, collectively it's our favorite song on the album. After doing the last three music videos, we kind of have deciphered what people probably want to see in a music video from us. So we've tried our best to like really offer that up as much as possible. So hopefully that excites people into listening to the album. And we've also got a bunch of playthroughs. Like we've all been, you know, rehearsing the songs. We've already played the songs live quite a bit before COVID anyway, but we've got drum playthroughs, vocal playthroughs, guitar and stuff. So lots of content to share with people before the release.
That seems to be the name of the game, isn't it? Just sort of getting as much stuff you can share to people's phones as possible. Because that's the reality of the music business in 2020, I suppose. Until we all get back to it. Yeah. What's been your sort of biggest career highlight to date then? What's been the thing that's really stands out for you?
I think playing with Anathema, there's something about that band. It wasn't really like, it was a big gig for us and it was in a great venue, but I just think sharing the stage with them was really cool. Like I didn't really know anything about Anathema before we played with them. And then when they got on stage and that amazing woman, I can't remember her name. That's going to suck right now. When she got up and started singing, I was just in love with their whole sound. So it was just a really special experience, I think.
The guys from Ireland, aren't they?
Yeah.
I actually know people who know them really well. I've met the guy. I met one of the guys a couple of times. And I hear people talking about them, and I to my shame, I haven't checked them out. Heard they're amazing band. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, and live, I was just like, it sounded like a fairy tale or something. It was just so cool. So yeah, that had me pretty jazzed, I reckon.
What's the sort of biggest challenges that you faced?
I think connecting with the audience live. We don't want to be a band that just plays a really tight set and people are like, oh, that was cool, like how tight they played. Like I really want people to feel something emotionally when we play, and just trying to connect with a room of people, especially where we're at in our career now, where, you know, half the time you play to small venues of your own crowd, and then you play to bigger rooms where you share the stage, you support. And in those shows, trying to reach out to somebody that is kind of not really paying attention, like trying to get that kind of connection going. I think that's been our biggest challenge, because it's like you really have to win those people over in some way, and just figuring out what that means and how to go about that has been probably our biggest challenge.
This is the Need to Know Music Show, and we always ask people for a recommendation of somebody that they may not have heard or that they should definitely check out. Who would be your recommendation?
It's my go-to answer lately, because I've been listening to them so much. Ebon Ivory, another Australian band. They're like Tesseract, if Tesseract had this like cabaret circus dream spin on it, even though they're already very dreamlike. Tesseract, Aussie band that is really quirky, really interesting, doing stuff that I haven't heard before. I'd be checking them out.
Excellent. We'll put a link to them. That'll be on the screen as we speak, so people will be able to check that out. And we'll put all the links to your stuff too, so people can check you out. So obviously, next is the album and the singles and the videos and all that kind of stuff that people are going to be checking out in the next few weeks and months to come. But listen, good luck with all of that stuff. And it's been fantastic to chat to you.
Thanks so much.
Just want to wish you all the best, and we'll be playing video clips of your stuff. So, make sure that people can get to hear you. All right. Well, good luck with all of that.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us, Sean.
Tobias, really thanks very much.
Thanks, fellas.
All right,
thank
cheers.
You. All the best.
Take care now. Bye-bye now.
Bye.